This is Amazing Performances. Get ready to start your day with Special K. And now, from the 1010 KXXT studios, here's your host, Kevin Pecos.
Welcome to another Amazing Performance Radio broadcast. It's Tuesday, September 30th. I'm Kevin Pecos with my wingman, Air Johnson. You in there, buddy?
I am in here and ready to fly.
All right. We're bringing you the good news of people in sports, everyday life, entertainment, and we're the new voice for morning radio in Arizona. Remember to always start your day with Special K.
Indeed, start it with Special K.
And also remember that today is the future. Is it the future you hoped for? And since mine is, I want to thank the people that make that possible. Say hi to Dana, Jamie and Jeremiah up in Flagstaff, Mom, Kip, and her family, Jack, the Dork, and his four-pack. And we have a special guest today, Jen Cameraman Jenkins. Are you there, Jen?
Yep.
Oh. And for those who want to know who she is, go to the website, azfl.com, click on Amazing Performances, the banner link, and I actually have pictures that Jen sent me of herself and herself from an episode of The Simpsons wearing long hair. Is it sitting next to Serena Williams?
Yes, I'm next to Serena Williams.
In a cartoon form.
Yes. Actually, it's funny because Matt Groening had this rule that you could put yourself or friends of yours in episodes as long as you didn't stand out in any strange way, i.e. as in not have facial hair, not have weird eyebrows, earrings, or anything bizarre like that.
Uh-oh.
And at this point, that was the second to the last episode I directed, and I did have the waist-length hair at the time. And I thought it would be funny to put myself in a scene. And as long as you didn't try to make yourself look like a speaking character, as long as you could blend as a Simpson with the overbite, you'd be okay. Well, I'm kind of a goofy-looking person, so it's easy to make me look like a Simpson character. And I'm sitting there, and I'm working one day, and I'd completely forgotten I'd put myself in. And my personal phone rings next to me, and I pick it up, and there's just laughter. And it was Matt. And Matt said, yes, Matt. Are you sitting next to Serena Williams, dear? Yes. Okay. Well, I will allow that one. And I could hear him laughing and he hung up, but I'd been in so many episodes by then that he let the high-profile one slide, so that was my last kind of desperate grasp for visual glory while I worked on the show.
Wow. I'm impressed. I mean, I actually have your pictures. I have the picture of you with Serena in the cartoon.
Yes.
Above the picture of you.
Yes.
And it's a good thing you said you had long hair, because you definitely have short hair now.
Yes. While I was on the show, it's funny because I actually was in 5 episodes before I even started working on the show.
Wow.
My childhood best friend, I grew up near San Francisco in San Jose, and my best friend moved down to Los Angeles to go to CalArts, the animation school that's down there in Valencia near Magic Mountain. And she was complaining that none of her childhood friends were coming down to visit her. And she and I used to be very creative together, draw pictures, write stories. Well, I worked a schedule where my Fridays were free, and I hopped in the car and I drove down and I visited her. And while I was sitting there visiting her, she drew a picture of me as a Simpson and popped me right in an episode. And, you know, just like that, I ended up in a background. And then she told me while I was there, she said, well, you draw as well as I do. Why don't you try out for the show? Well, I think that you try out for things like, you know, athletic teams or cheerleading squads. I didn't think there was such a thing as try out for a major cartoon. I assumed that like a doctor or a lawyer or something like that, that you had to, A, choose this from the time you were young, B, go to college for it or something like that. And she said, no, all you have to do, why don't you try to draw the characters? And I went, okay, I'll try that. So I sat in her house during the day with a pencil, and every artist has to draw from what they call a model pack. It's a series of standard poses for the characters so that everyone can draw them uniformly, because you as the viewer are not supposed to know that it switches back and forth anywhere between 8 and 13 artists every single episode.
Wow.
It's supposed to look uniform. I can tell because I worked with these people for so long. But in general, the viewing audience is not supposed to be able to tell when it switches. So I sat there and laboriously would do my drawings during the day, and at night I would drive into Hollywood to the studio where she was. And she said, well, if the drawings are good, then I'll give you the test to do. if the drawings are no good, we'll just throw them away and we'll forget about it. Well, I brought her my first horrible attempts, and she said there was promise. Practice them over the next 3 or 4 days, and then I finally had to do the test because I was going to be driving back home late Sunday night because my week's vacation was going to be over. By this time, I'd met a bunch of people and thought, wow, this would be fun if I could do this. Never thought about it before. Was going to go to school for psychology. You know, hadn't drawn a picture. I think I hadn't drawn a single thing in 4 years when I did that test because I'd gotten into theater instead. And so I finished maybe 3/4 of the test. We brought it to the production manager late on Sunday night because everybody was pretty much there around the clock in the beginning. Gave him my test. She said who my name was, said, this is a friend of mine. I want to try to help get her on the show. And then I left. And a phone call woke me up the next morning because I had the day off work. And they said, well, this is The Simpsons. We want to see your portfolio. And there was dead silence. I didn't have a portfolio. I said, I don't have one. And there was silence on their end. And I said, well, can you send me another animation test to do? I was thinking quickly because by now it seemed like, wow, maybe I could really do this. Well, they said that a man named David Silverman would be sending me more artwork and that he would send it as soon as possible. Well, 2 weeks go by and I didn't hear anything, and so it was another Friday, and I drove down again. Got the test in person, did it again, turned it in. This turned into a 2-month process of pretty much every other weekend, me driving the 400 miles from San Jose to L.A., meeting more people over and over again, getting my face known around there, because by this time I desperately wanted the job. You know, something I desperately thought, I've got to do this.
Who knew?
I came in at a time when they were actually willing to hire and train young artists with no experience. It was back in 1990. I was 20 years old, and they desperately needed people. And in fact, they preferred people with no experience because they could train you in their way, basically.
It sounds like you're a candidate for vice president.
But it was so funny because I turned my last one in, and they said they were going to call me. By this time, I had to tell my friends about it.
Uh-oh.
And they were going, you know, it's like landing on the moon. Nobody believes you. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
They're right. Like you're trying to work on The Simpsons, whatever. Especially for people outside entertainment, it's got absolutely zero reality. I mean, I had a computer warehouse job. I filled book orders for schools. I mean, there was nothing in my reality that would make anybody think this would be true. Well, finally, my friends thought it might be a reality, and they wanted to have my bedroom. They wanted to know if they could move into my house and be in the master bedroom. They're like, what are you going to do? You know, where are you going to pay rent on October 1st? And I thought, well, I guess I should call them because I hadn't heard anything back. And I took a break from work. I got on the payphone, and I made my long-distance call. And she said, well, we're not quite sure. And I've never had the courage. I don't know how I got the courage to do this, but I said to the production manager, I said, look, I'm calling from San Jose. It's long distance. I'm on a break. I can't get off the phone. I need to know where I'm paying rent on October 1st. And I'm not that type of person. I wasn't the type of person back then. And this was September 28th of 1990. And she put me on hold for 25 minutes. Sat there white knuckled, you know, and I told my boss I was on a very, very important call, so they forgave me. I sat there pacing around wanting to vomit. And then she came back and said, well, bring 2 forms of identification for your I-9 form. And I said, what are you telling me? She's like, silly, we're hiring you. Start Monday.
Okay.
So I packed up my car with everything that my little Hyundai hatchback could hold. I drove down, and I started on October 1st of 90.
Wow.
Without even the thought of it 2 or 3 months before then. I mean, not even the thought of whether or not I could keep the job, not even the thought if I could do well enough. I had just gotten my foot in the door, and at that time, that was enough.
That's pretty awesome. Now, yeah. Jen, don't go anywhere. We're going to do the question, or who said this segment, so it just takes a few minutes.
Okay.
It's time now for Who Said This?
All right. Here's the quote. We want to know if anybody knows who said this at the end of the show, we'll give you the answer before the end of the show. America's healthcare system is second only to Japan, Canada, Sweden, Great Britain, well, all of Europe. But you can thank your lucky stars we don't live in Paraguay. And I give it some thought. See if anybody out there knows who said that. And I think, you know what? What we probably should do to get this out of the way, let's do the God moment in American history. It's just a real quick quote. It's actually a quote. Okay, I'm just going to say this real quick rather than do the whole thing. But it's just a simple quote from somebody. The year was 1800, the 23rd of September. And I'll even tell you who said this one. Erase all thought and fear of God from a community, and selfishness and sensuality will absorb the whole man. And that was William Holmes McGuffey in 1800 in September.
Neat.
Yeah. But, Jen, we're going to take a real quick commercial break. Mark's going to cue that up. It's like 2 minutes. And we're going to come right back. And if you want to see Jen, go to the website, azfl.com. Click on Amazing Performances, and there she is, along with her famous co-star, Serena Williams. Be right back.
Attention seniors, when the whistle blows for the last time on your high school football career and you're not going to play in college right away, then stay in the game with the Arizona Football League. The AZFL is an amateur club league, so you keep your eligibility, plus you stay on film and can be seen by colleges. Since we began in 1995, more than 150 have returned to college. Teams are playing statewide for the 2008 season right now. If you're at least 18 years old and have your own equipment, then contact us at 1-800-877-AZFL or visit us at www.azfl.com. Stay in the game.
Heaven's Next, serving businesses and Christian organizations through web design, hosting, and development, streamlining your organization through programming and web-driven database applications. If you need help increasing your web presence, check us out today at www.heavensnext.com. That's www.heavensnext.com. Heaven's Next.
The Arizona Sports Network and Amazing Performances Radio, together on KXXT 1010 AM, The Double Dime, your new home for sports stories and scores from high school to the pros. On the air 6 days a week, bringing you the best, most amazing people in the world of sports and entertainment. Featuring interviews with top performers in the rodeo, boxing, football, basketball, movies, baseball, television, religion, and amazing people from everyday life. ASPN, Amazing Performances, and KXXT 1010 AM, heard live on the air and worldwide on the internet. Join your host Kevin Pecos 6 days a week on the Arizona Sports Network, together on KXXT 1010 AM, The Double Dime.
Welcome back. We have a special guest, sort of a surreal crossover between real life and well, the world of cartoons and animation. And as you, if you've been listening, you've actually heard that how Jen got her start was a little bit of both. I mean, like she said, you would think you'd have to go to college or be a member of a card-carrying member of some guild or something to get what you've done. In fact, I've always thought that you, if you don't work in the business, you don't work in a business. And
yeah,
you broke that.
It's a lot different than... Actually, it's a lot different than trying to break into acting, obviously. And I wanted to act first, but I'm pathologically allergic to rejection.
Oh.
And I didn't want to be a waitress. I really didn't want to be a waitress because I'm scared of dropping plates. So it was really, really lucky that I ended up being able to do something creative behind a camera.
I'd be more concerned with you after having met you and your husband that you'd throw plates at people rather than drop them.
Well, I break enough dishes while I do them accidentally, so I'm not allowed to do that anymore.
Now, you've had some... Your story actually is going to take more than one show to tell, because when we spoke, it crosses just so many interesting areas. And my daughter being a famous Simpson fan, I mean, she was there when the series was born 20 years ago. It's in its 20th year. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that. And she was at school at a time in American history where they banned anything Simpson from schools because he was so rebellious.
Yes.
Yeah, and of course, because they banned it, and my daughter went to a private Christian school, the first thing I did was go out her and buy her a Don't Have a Cowman shirt from Bart and make her
fantastic.
Wear it. Yeah, she wore it to school. And needless to say, I got called to the principal's office.
Who got called to the principal's office?
Me.
Well, that's just not fair.
Well, the teacher asked her, what are you doing? You're not supposed to wear that. She said, call my daddy. So they did.
My daddy.
And they brought me down.
Bought it for me.
Yeah, they brought me down and said something to me. And I said, not a problem. We'll just take her out of school. You don't need the money anyway. And of course, we worked it out amicably. And she wore her shirt the next day, too.
And, it's a funny thing about the show because I got, you know, of course, it originally kind of started as the Don't Have a Cowman kind of being focused on Bart. And then I think they realized very quickly that the true star was Homer.
Absolutely.
As opposed to Bart. And so it kind of shifted in that direction, and nobody seemed to complain about Homer. I mean, he somehow manages to keep a job, he somehow manages to stay married, and somehow manages to keep his family intact without Child Protective Services showing up. So I guess seems like a lot of normal families actually.
Well, speaking of normal, can you play that Bart clip we have? Mark's going to play something real quick about school.
So, Bart, how are you feeling?
Can't complain.
Well, then, you're ready for your makeup test.
Oh, my ovaries.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Definitely not your normal response.
No. And if you knew Nancy Cartwright, the lady who does Bart's voice, she is one of the nicest women I've ever met. My most surreal moment on the show is I did some personal artwork for her that ended up in the Hollywood Reporter to honor James L. Brooks, one of the original creators of the show, who also did Taxi, MASH, you know, major, major producer. I did some work for her, and she sent me a thank you basket, and I, being very low on the totem pole at the time, begged my way into my very first voice recording to sit there and listen to them record, because the voices are recorded first. You have to have the voices before you can do the animation.
Just the opposite of film.
Just the opposite of film, exactly. You have to know how long the dialogue is, and you have to be able to sync the drawings up to the actual tape that you are sent. But I also somehow managed to wangle an invitation over to her house for dinner. Now, Nancy is, if I recall correctly, barely 5 feet tall, so blonde her hair is almost pure white. And we were sitting there at the dinner table, and she would inject her conversation with Bart and Ralph and Nelson the Bully and all the characters she did. And I was actually quite awestruck. I was actually quite awestruck because even after all that time, it was a way to amaze me. And it's just funny, you know, a lot of people didn't realize that all of the little children's voices are done by women. Because if they're done by men, I think it would be a painful situation, if you know what I mean. There's
someone
that can make his voice high enough, and there's no way that they can get children to sound the correct way that they want. So they've always been done by women. But yeah, that was still one of my starstruck moments. You kind of forget because every episode takes 6 months from start to finish.
No kidding.
Yep.
For each and every half-hour show.
For each and every half-hour show, 22 minutes plus commercials from script to screen while I was working there took 6 months. Basically, we started the Halloween show at the beginning of April to give you a timeline on how long it would take.
Wow.
And everything was hand-drawn. Every single thing was hand-drawn on paper by an artist. We never used computers. In fact, it didn't even go to computer coloring until probably they did a test episode a month before I left the show. And that was only because the company that made the animation cells was complaining because we were the only people almost in the world that were ordering clear plastic cells to be hand-painted on. They wanted to stop making them. So they had to make the switch from actually shooting it on traditional film over to digitally colored. But the show is still traditionally hand-drawn. In fact, my big joke was that as technical as I got was using a mechanical pencil.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you kind of had a part in the one of the first episodes digitally done that ended the streak for the sales. Didn't they see your episode, and then right after that they went to Computer All the Way?
What was weird is I finished my episode. We found out a gentleman named Bob Anderson, who directed the show that was in the lineup before mine, episode 6 of that year, had a really complicated script. Even though his show was going to be on the air before mine, he ended up finishing his 2 weeks later than me. I finished my episode early. I finish my show. I give them my last drawings. I'm on a plane to London to spend a month in London with a friend just so that I could decompress, because I would disappear. As soon as I was done directing, I would take my month off. I would go overseas because I'd be so tired. I was just about to switch my cell phone off, and Lori, my producer, called me and said, "Jen, yours is going to be the digital episode." And I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "Well, yours was done first, so yours is going to be the first digital episode." I said, "Well, what does this mean for me?" And she said, "Well, it doesn't mean anything for you. Have a nice trip." Okay. So I switched off my phone and I came back. And I remember what you have to do when your show is done. You go to 20th Century Fox, or actually, more correctly, Gracie Films, which is on the Fox lot, and you present your episode to, I believe at the time it was between 26, anywhere between 26 and 36 producers. And you're sitting in a room with all of the writing personnel, the producing personnel, the heads of the show, including Matt Groening. And they were sitting and watching it, and I was exceedingly nervous because all anyone could notice was the color.
Mm-hmm.
They said, "It looks different. It's not what we're used to. It looks different. It's not what we're used to." And I thought, oh, no.
Wow. There's something, yeah. You said something earlier, besides the fact that you personally destroyed the Cell Animation single-handedly. Thank you for that. Because I was watching the opening show this week, which was a terrible show, by the way, based on what I've seen. Uh-huh. And you could notice, after you and I talked this summer, I could actually notice the difference in quality.
There is a difference. There is, when you film a show on Cell, you have many, many layers of cells put together. You have layers for legs. You have layers for body. If the eyes blink, you have layers for the head. You have layers for the mouth. And when you lay them all down and you shoot them, you get kind of, the only way to put it is a warm quality, kind of a saturated warm quality. And you can duplicate that on a computer only so far.
Right.
And, you know, I learned how to shoot cells on film, and I thought it was a beautiful process. But unfortunately, we also had, I think, one of three actual animation film camera stands left in operation in the world. And all the new camera operators were being trained on digital.
Oh.
And the other problem is, you know, it's like trying to find a part at AutoZone for a 1932 Packard.
Right.
Good luck. You know, you're not going to be able to find it. And so they kind of had to make the transition. But, yeah, if you look at one of the old episodes and look at one of the newer ones, you can tell the difference.
Yeah, and I hadn't noticed until you mentioned it. But but it's like watching a Disney production from the old days. They look three-dimensional, yeah. But they don't anymore.
Yes.
And yeah. you did say something at the start of the program that I found interesting. You were working towards the areas of psychology and theater.
Yes.
Now, to me, you were perfectly trained for the job you got.
Actually, I was, because people don't realize you get an audio tape. You hear Homer's voice, right?
Uh-huh.
You hear Homer speaking a certain line. But then it is up to the director and the animator to decide the physical acting that is going to go with that line.
Right.
And you can either, like, you can put his, if you want him to look a little angrier, you can put his brows down. If you need to soften the line, you can change his expression. You can do a lot with the drawings psychologically to make somebody feel a certain way about what they're hearing on audio.
Right.
So you actually have a lot of visual persuasion. And I remember a friend called me after, Lisa has always been my favorite. I've always identified with her. And I used to get to draw a lot of Lisa because I was teacher's pet for a while and they'd let me pick my scenes.
Oh.
And I remember a friend called me up after a show was on and said, "Wait a second, did you do those drawings?" I said, "What drawings?" It's like that scene, that thing that Lisa did. I said, "Yeah, why?" She said, she acted just like you. And I realized all of us kind of put our personalization and our own gestures in.
That's pretty cool.
And I looked back at the drawings I did again, and sure enough, it was exactly like me, because as an artist, you mimic the things that are closest to you, just like anything. But it is psychological persuasion and theater, exactly like you said.
That's awesome. It's,
it was fun to be able to act behind the scenes that way.
That's pretty cool. We're going to have to go, and we're going to hook up again and do some more, because this is pretty fascinating. But I'm going to have to let you go. I appreciate it. It's Jen Cameraman Jenkins, and go online, azfl.com. I've got her photo and her photo with Serena there, her artwork. Thank you so much for calling in today.
Absolutely. You have a fantastic day.
You too.
Bye.
I'm just going to give the answer to that for the quote. Don't play the ending sound, because we got to get going. It was Homer Simpson who said that. And America's healthcare system is second only to Japan, Canada, Sweden, Great Britain, well, all of Europe. But you can thank your lucky stars we don't live in Paraguay. It was actually a Homer Simpson quote. She should have known. Shame on you, Jen. But what do we got now? About 30 seconds?
We have 43 seconds.
Exactly 43 seconds.
Yeah.
Wow, that was awesome. We want to thank Jen for calling in. And if you're a Simpson fan, go to azfl.com and check out her photo there on amazing performances and her artwork, and we'll have more of that online soon. Mental Health Day is Wednesday. We call it Wacky Wednesday. I want to thank you guys for listening, and remember that, well, that's it. We're out of time, so I got to go. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.